Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. This is Dr. Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Yesterday was a beautiful and important day in the life of the church in terms of it being an anniversary. And it was the anniversary of the final vision, the miracle of the sun associated with Our Lady of Fatima. I'm going to use that as my launching off point and talk with you about what happens in our lives in terms of breaking in to have that gift of gracious disruption. I've got several other aspects to bring out about that, including the fact that I've finished my 21-day water fast. So I'm going to talk to you more about that in just a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you in Jesus' holy name, and I thank you and praise you for the gift of today, another opportunity to know you and love you and serve you. Lord, we repent of the ways that we fall short. And Lord, we want to live holy lives. We want to not settle for less, but Lord, we need your grace to do that. And we make this prayer today, Jesus, in your holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So if you have been paying attention and following along with sort of insights that have bubbled up in my life, in my own walking out of my journey of faith, and that's what I share with you here, is really what's going on in my life. I share things that are good, bad, and ugly, right? So that I want to live kind of transparently with you here to encourage you. I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be inspired. I want you to be informed about the call that we have and how to live out that call. Don't always do it perfectly, but even that I know can be an encouragement. I know folks say, you know what, I like that you're real. I like that you're not just higher up, like looking down on us, telling us what we should be doing because, you know, we're lesser than you. Not like that at all. I hope you never get that sense from me. It has been a burning concern of mine to not live this stage in my life, this stage where I'm much more tuned to living well the time that remains, right? It's asking that fundamental question, what will I do with the time that remains? And it really points to the precious gift of time, that's the precious gift, that you run out of time. And I think we get a sense of that, like when we see all of a sudden some report flash past us where this famous movie star that we admired and sort of followed the arc of their career, and then we find out they died. And it's just sort of like a little drip, like a little pebble in a pond. It makes a little ripple. And we say, oh, wow. Well, that's sad. That's too bad. Oh, I didn't know that they were sick. And then we just move on with our day. And when I look at St. Alphonsus de Liguori's book of meditations called Preparation for Death, it's not a fun reading book, but it's a very sobering book. He has several meditations on the fact that you're going to be quickly forgotten, like that little pebble in the pond. It makes a little ripple, and then before you know it, after the tears and the wake and the burial, a few days later, people are living their lives again. They're just moving on. And so it really can sober us up regarding what we are pursuing. What are we pursuing in life? What do we really value in life? What are we giving our lives over to, right? And really investing in. And if we use as our like point of focus, as our North Star that's kind of guiding us along the way, the church is going to propose two simple and interrelated ideas: saintliness and mission accomplishment. You are called to grow in holiness, to what's called the perfection of charity. You're called to become holy by loving the Lord your God with all that you are, all that you have, with your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you are to fulfill the God-given mission that he has planted you here for. Your life is a gift. That gift has been elevated through baptism to sharing in very divine life as a child of God. and in being planted in this moment in history, very precisely, in a very delicate, nuanced, and detailed way, the Lord has planted you here in this moment and gifted you with so many gifts in order to fulfill a specific mission. Do you think about those things? Do you? How often? How does it impact us? I do. I think about this. I think about, right? So I was sort of brought up in reading sort of traditional Catholic spirituality. The idea of striving to grow in holiness would be certain practices. And you heard Father Nagel and I talk about that over the last couple of weeks. What are the virtues I'm striving to grow in? What are the vices I'm trying to eliminate, right? So is there a mortal sin that is holding me back in the spiritual life? And then in terms of mission, the traditional language is, are you fulfilling the duties of your state in life? More recently, you'd refer to it as you're called to be salt, light, and leaven in the world. Now, more recently, that's scriptural, right? That's Matthew chapter 6. It's the Sermon on the Mount, called to be salt, light, and leaven. And that means that wherever we go, we are meant to radiate Jesus Christ. You can see how they're linked. But you can see how these two components are utterly linked. We're called to radiate Christ in the environments in which we find ourselves. But we're not going to radiate Christ into those environments. In other words, the living Lord Jesus is alive in you. He's growing in you. This is the fruit of receiving Holy Communion. Jesus grows bigger. He grows more profoundly present, more radiantly present. And that means his glory, his majesty. That means his peace. That means his power. That means his mercy, his love, his generosity, right? All these different gifts. He's the perfect man. He's the ideal man. Again, another theme in a traditional Catholic spirituality. And that Jesus is living in you so that when you imitate Christ, the imitation of Christ, right? The name of the famous 13th century book by St. Thomas a Kempis, not St. Thomas a Kempis, is all about you're not just a mimic of Christ. You don't just see what he did and then do that. No, it's he who did that then is going to do that now in you. The mysteries of Christ's life are going to become real in you. The events of Christ's life are going to grow in you. Jesus will become more obvious in you. Does he? Because that's how we'll fulfill our mission. We'll fulfill our mission because we'll sense his spirit prompting us to do things, avoid things, go in certain directions, proclaim certain realities. And what I just laid out there is it's simple, but not easy. I think it's understandable, but is it livable? And when we stop and say, well, of course it's got to be livable. The Lord's not setting us up for failure. And then we can say, what is it that's holding us back? Well, are we being held back? Well, statistics about what the church is in terms of its impact in America is very sad. We have, if you wanted to use pure math, we've failed. We've failed the test. Our influence as a church has waned over the past 50 years. If you want to use the Second Vatican Council as a touch point, 60 years. 60 years ago, the Second Vatican Council was completed. How have we done? What's the scorecard? Have the number of Catholic schools grown? The number of Catholic parishes grown? Have the number of Catholics grown? Yeah, population-wise. But what about Catholics who have left the church, beliefs in what the church teaches, and then the effective difference that we're making in the world? Are we playing our part well? We have a long way to go. And so what do we need? Do we need just a new program? Do we need a new initiative, a new ministry? That'll do it. Well, those things can help. Those things do help to some degree. But what we really need is the Lord to disrupt our lives. We need a gracious disruption. That's a disruption that comes from heaven. That's a disruption where the Lord gets involved and says, now I've got your attention. Now that you've encountered this, you will be transformed. Your life will not be the same. we can try another program, another ministry, another initiative, and we might get some, you know, a little stirring of positive energy, a little bit greater activity. But game-changing, brand new, now my whole life is reoriented. I'm never going to be the same again. I'm now going to commit my life to do something radical that is disruptive of how I've been living. That rarely accomplishes it. Rarely does it accomplish it. And so does that mean that the church's call should be lessened? Does that mean that the Lord is saying, I understand. It's hard, guys. I understand. I'll lower my expectations for you. Is that what's happening? Or does the Lord love us enough to turn up the pressure, turn up the what's called the gain, turn up the gain on that voice? His voice will become louder. Yeah, that's often what happens. There's going to be a breakthrough, and that breakthrough is going to be disruptive. And I use this as a windup because when I mentioned the idea of Our Lady of Fatima and the apparitions at Fatima in Portugal, this is an example of a gracious disruption. You have three young shepherd kids, 10 and under, these three kids, right? Lucia and then her two cousins, Jacinta and Francisco. And they are tending sheep, and they first have, in 1916, the visit three times of an angel identified as Michael later. And then beginning in May the 13th and on the 13th, except for June, it was 1 month that it didn't happen, but they had these on the 13th of the month, they had apparitions, visitations from the Blessed Mother, Our Lady of Fatima. And there was obviously having an encounter with the Blessed Mother, having her appear from heaven, that will be pretty disruptive. Life will not be the same again. Yes, that's true. But even among all of the things that the children saw, the three visionaries saw, there was one thing that happened that disrupted their lives. They had an encounter with a reality that fundamentally shifted what they cared about and how they saw life, how they related to their lives, and how they behaved from then on. It was the vision that happened in August. It was the vision of hell. And so the Blessed Mother showed them a vision of hell, or allowed them to see a vision of hell. It was the first secret, right? There were these three secrets. And sorry, it was July. No, it was not the vision on the 13th. This was the vision of hell they experienced on the 4th of July in 1917. And she saw this lake of fire with souls, demons, and condemned damned souls churning, and in this fiery, this lake of fire. And they saw souls falling into hell like snowflakes. And so they're watching this, and they're hearing these screams and these groans of pain and despair and horror. So these little kids saw this. And it was so overwhelming to them that the Blessed Mother withdrew the vision and then showed them a vision of heaven to kind of console them. But along with that was this message. And the message had to do with these souls. And that was the message that came out in August. And it was pray a great deal and make many sacrifices, for many souls go to hell because they have no one to make sacrifices and to pray for them. Pray a great deal and make many sacrifices, for many souls go to hell because they have no one to make sacrifices and to pray for them. And it impacted their lives. As a result of that encounter, they changed. And so after the visions finished, for the remainder of their lives, they would pray and do penance. They would be praying the rosary almost continuously. They would sacrifice comfortable things. They worked in the hot sun. They gave up like milk that was offered to them. They looked for opportunities. Like, give me an opportunity to do penance. Give me, and again, these kids are like at this point, 10, 11, 7, 9 years old, little young kids. And they are consumed with doing what? Rescuing souls that are near to death, but far from God. You've heard me say that phrase before. To rescue souls that are near to death and far from God. That became their burning concern. That was them living out a mission. All right, I'm up against a break. When we come back, I'm going to circle back around to that and talk about how that impacts my life and how that can impact your life, as well as other gracious disruptions that have moved people to change, and how we can pray for that too. We can pray for that transformation that we ought to desire, but will only come through a disruption of how we're actually living. Back in a minute. Welcome back to the program. This is Tom Curran. It's great to be with you today. Today I'm honoring Our Lady of Fatima. Our Lady of Fatima was the first apparition that really impacted my life shortly after my conversion. Back when I was 19 years old, I was introduced to a deeper devotion to the Blessed Mother by a wonderful holy priest, Father Tom Carlton, back in Burlington, Massachusetts. It's amazing, right? Like, God designed that certain priests would be at the parish that I would be at to be able to help me come to a deepened faith, an awakened faith. You know, beautiful, beautiful stuff. That was just a pure gift to me. But it was part of God's design and plan. And God has that design and plan for you. So you might be hearing this program in a time where you're wondering, why am I living a spiritually deflated life? Why am I'm striving to, you know, believe what the church teaches and live the moral life. And I'm going to Mass on Sunday, but am I a sword in the right hand of God? Am I really striving with passion and energy to seek the face of Jesus and to honor him above all, to put him and his concerns first? Right? The things that you hear in the lives of saints, just passionately committed to you, Jesus, I love you, and I want to love you more. I want to love you with all that I am, all that I have. I give in my whole life as just a pure sacrifice, as an oblation, as a gift, as a sacrifice. Lord, whatever else you do, use my life for your glory. Please, Lord, cleanse the vessel of anything that doesn't honor and glorify you. And Lord, expand the vessel so that more of you can live in me and work through me. May I be more docile, more yielding, more available to you for whatever your purpose and plan is, whether it's suffering or it's preaching, whether it is praying or whether it is serving, whether it is to become more visible or more invisible, whatever it is, Lord, I say yes in advance to all that you ask of me, right? So these are the desires that you hear when you read the lives of the saints, and those can become our desires. And if we let those desires grow in us and expand in us, our lives will change. Our lives will change. And when they're not changing, then we're going to be asking the Lord, please graciously disrupt my life And whether it's going to be a more active thing or a more receptive thing, not passive, but receptive thing, that's what it's going to, that's what we'll, so an active thing is like for me, and I'm going to shift into this shortly. I've finished my 21-day water fast and I'm shifting into a 19-day fast to get to 40 days. All right. So I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. I want to focus though for first, or a passive one. A passive one is something happens to you where you have a kid who goes off the deep end in rebellion, and now you're thrown into drama, or there's some tragic situation that emerges in terms of some health circumstance or financial circumstance or something like that. And then all of a sudden, the comfortable life that we're living in terms of our relationship with the Lord, it's comfortable. It no longer can be comfortable. Now we have to move. Now we have to do something that's different. And so we saw that with regards to Our Lady of Fatima with the three visionaries. We also saw that on October the 13th, 1917, where there was the miracle of the sun. You had 70,000 people showing up. And these aren't just all Catholic believers. There were unbelievers, non-believers, atheists. They all came out in a rainy day to see a miracle that the kids promised that the Blessed Mother said would provide for on that day to show the world. And it's amazing. It's just stunning to think all these adults took the guidance of these little kids. Really? That's amazing. Just amazing. And then to see the reports, and the reports published even in communist newspapers, right? Not religious newspapers, about the miracle of the sun. And that was disruptive. That was disruptive for so many people. It changed their lives. It changed the direction of their lives. So you can have a stupendous sign from heaven, a wonder, a miracle. That can also be a place of breakthrough. That can be a place of, I'm not going to live the way I've lived before because I had this happen to me. This occurred. And maybe that's the way the Lord is going to break into your life, is performing a sign or a wonder or a deed of power. I have already mentioned to you that I see that as the at least a part that encounter plays in the lives of those who are in encounter, and maybe through encounter so many others, where there's this expectant faith and there's this equipping and this praying and seeking for the Lord to move in supernatural ways with signs and wonders and deeds of power. And as people experience those miracles, all of a sudden it's like, I can't keep living like that. I just can't keep living like that. And so when I think about when I think about Our Lady of Fatima, one of the enduring things that can change a life is what happens when we begin to pray the rosary regularly. And if we include what's called the Fatima prayer at the end of the decades, oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins, save us from the fires of hell, lead all those to heaven, especially those most in need of your mercy. Okay, save us from the fires of hell. Us, not me, save us. You see, there's a heart that's broadened, that's opened. It's beyond just me. When I'm praying the rosary, it's not just me. The us isn't just me or me and Carrie or me and Carrie and my kids. The us goes beyond that. The us can go as wide as the world. And if the us goes as wide as the world, then save us from the fires of hell. Lead all souls to heaven, not just my soul, not just my kids and my loved ones, blah, blah, blah. Everybody's soul, especially those most in need of thy mercy. Who's most in need of thy mercy? Who most needs God's mercy right now, who most needs it? Those that are near to death, but far from God. Those who are just about to die and who are stuck in mortal sin, far from God. Those are the souls that are falling like snowflakes and they're about to hit the lake of fire, the fire of hell. And again, if you can just tune in, focus in on the passionate concern that those three young visionaries had for those souls because of what they encountered. It was because they could not unsee what they saw. They could not forget what they saw, and it changed their lives. If you begin to pray the rosary, if you meditate on the apparitions of in the messages of Fatima, of Our Lady of Fatima, what just might emerge in you is a consciousness, an awareness of what's at stake right now. Now, for you might think, well, what's at stake right now? I'm driving to work. I'm going to mass. I'm getting my kids ready for school. I'm homeschooling. I'm doing my morning devotion. I'm listening to the program. I'm just doing what I'm doing. What do you mean what's at stake right now? There's not a lot at stake right now, right? Like yesterday, there was the release of prisoners from Palestine, from Gaza. And this was like this breakthrough day. This amazing thing happened. Like, wow, what was at stake in that, right? And so there was this breakthrough and a potential path to peace and worth praying for, right? And all that. Well, today's just going to be an ordinary day for me. There's not that much at stake. Oh, yeah? How about this? How about what's at stake in your right now? What's at stake in your right now is that there will be, between me talking right now and the top of the hour, about 35 minutes. In the next 35 minutes, if you just take sort of the statistics, there'll be about 40 to 50 people. About 300 people are going to die in the next half an hour on average. That was quick, loose calculation. So if we say about 300 people are going to die around the world, if you spread it statistically, about 300 people, how confident are you that all 300 are in the state of grace, ready to meet the Lord? How many? Well, statistically, I don't know. I'm guessing it's not 300. I'm guessing it's far less than that. And if it's far less than that, how many of them are in mortal sin, having committed deadly sin? And I, the scripture that the Lord has given me for this, that I find so helpful, is the raising of Lazarus in John 11. The soul that's near to death and far from God is like Lazarus in the tomb. Right? But Lazarus is physically dead. I'm going to have you play it out just a little shift. All right? Imagine that he's spiritually dead in the tomb. He's spiritually dead in the tomb. He is stuck. Spiritually dead in the tomb, he's stuck. There is a stone in front of his tomb. He's not getting out of this. Why? Well, the Blessed Mother says, because there are none to pray and do penance for him, offer sacrifices, make reparation for the sins, to repair the damage of the sins. Now, you have Jesus there at the scene. And Jesus says, Lazarus, come out, and he comes out. Is that what happens? No, that's not what happens. What do you mean that's not what happens? Look at the passage. Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, and he comes forth from the tomb. Yeah, but there's something that happens before that. Before he addresses Lazarus, who does he address? Well, he addresses the crowd. And what does he say to that crowd of mourners that are there? He says, roll away the stone. See, Lazarus is stuck in a tomb, and there's a stone blocking his exit. That stone is his sin. That stone is his mortal sin. And this is me applying a spiritual lesson to the story. This is not the actual meaning of the story. This is me applying a spiritual insight drawn from Our Lady of Fatima, connected to this point, that you're praying for souls that are near to death and far from God is rolling away the stone. When you offer prayers and sacrifices, offer penance for those souls that are near to death and far from God, you're rolling away the stone. You want a mission and a ministry in your life where you will live a drama every day. Like a stunning, oh my goodness, I had no idea what could be at stake in my life. Is that if you woke up today and said, Lord, I give you my day as an offering for souls that are near to death and far from God, please inspire me with prayers to pray and sacrifices to make. what might mean penances to do, as acts of reparation to repair the damage of sin. On their behalf, Lord, in their place, Lord, for their sake, Lord, for they are near to death and far from you. And so, Lord, I say yes to that mission. I say yes to that ministry. I say yes. So I'm going to pray a rosary. I'll pray on my knees. I'll pray a rosary. I'll pray two rosaries. I'll pray four rosaries. I'm not doing anything today. I will fast. I will give up lunch today. I'll give up dessert today. I'll drink coffee without cream and sugar today. I'll take a cold shower today. I'll sit in an uncomfortable chair today. I'll have a patient conversation with someone who is just a burden to me today. 100 things that you can do, and offering it up as a sacrifice. How? To be one of those that's leaning their shoulder. You're leaning your shoulder against that stone to roll away the stone, to pray for those that are near to death and far from God. It's a pretty striking thing. It's a pretty striking thing when we get it. The problem is that you hear it, I hear it, and it's kind of like, yeah, that's pretty cool. Okay, hey, what's on Channel 5? Oh, let me continue swiping through these next videos. It doesn't move us. Even just hearing that kind of really cool explanation, like, I'll make it even more dramatic. You do this, you start doing this sincerely, like as a real sincere ministry in prayer, interceding like this. We get to heaven, you're going to have these people coming up to you like, thank you, thank you, thank you for your ministry. Thank you for praying when you did, for I was one of those snowflakes falling towards the flames of hell. I was near to death and far from God. And you said yes, and you fasted for me. You sacrificed for me. You offered communion for me. You did a good deed for me. You did a penance for me. Thank you, for that was the grace that the Lord gave to roll away the stone, because you know the Lord desires the salvation of these souls more than we do. He created every soul to be saved. It's what's called God's universal salvific will. There wasn't one soul that God created without a saving will attached to that soul. And yet the Lord, in the mystery of his plan, asks us to cooperate. There's nothing lacking in the sufferings of Christ except what? Our participation in it. That's in Colossians chapter 1, 23 to 25 or 6 or 7, right in there. Is that what's lacking in the sufferings of Christ is the church's participation. That's us. We are called to join. What is the cross of Christ? It's the path of salvation. And so we don't like that. There's the problem. We like comfortable dissipation, that comfortable, spiritually deflated life where we're living a really good life, but we're not making much of a spiritual difference, either to ourselves or to the world around us. And we see it in the fruit of the church's impact on the world around us. We don't have the vigilance, the vigor, the generosity, or the courage to step out and say, I refuse to live an ordinary life anymore. People who have had NDEs, near-death experiences, so many of them, their experience, not all of them, but so many of them, they had an experience that was sort of like touching heaven. And when they come back, if you want to say that there's one word to describe those that have come back from an NDE, is that they're different. What's different? How they see everything, how they see their lives, how they see the world, how they see what's happening in the world, how they see where they're headed towards, how they see death, how they see what they're going to do with the rest of their lives. You see, a gracious disruption of their life, having some NDE, was the funnel through which they had an encounter that was so enormous, so big, that it led to a transformed life. You see, it's not a complicated pattern. But it's one that we ought to pay attention to, because we can seek it out in our lives as well. And so take the message of Our Lady of Fatima and pray. Maybe ask Saints Jacinta and Francisco, both named saints in 2017. Sister Lucia is venerable a couple years now, so she's not yet a saint. It seems to me that she's going to be named a saint. We can catch some of that spirit. Some of that spirit of praying for souls that are near to death and far from God. We pray the rosary. You pray the rosary every day. How do we miss it? How do we miss that? That we're actually praying for souls that are near to death and far from God in the Fatima prayer. Those most in need of thy mercy. It's right in front of us. And then maybe that can motivate, again, a transformed way of living our lives. That would be beautiful. All right, when we come back, I'm going to talk about the remainder of my fast and what I'm doing going forward in my own attempts, humble attempts to experience a gracious disruption of how I'm living in order to be more fruitful in the service of God. All right, I'll be back in a minute. Hey, welcome back to the program. It's great to be with you. So today I'm reflecting on this dynamic that is manifest in a very powerful way in the apparition of our Blessed Mother to the three visionaries at Fatima. How it, again, was a gracious disruption of their lives, these young children's lives. But through them, so many other people had their lives disrupted because they were willing. Listen now, they were willing to allow themselves to be disrupted by God, by the grace of God. They didn't get to live a life that they had chosen. They got to live the life that was chosen for them, to be these receivers of the apparition of our Blessed Mother, to be bearers of her message. And such an important message that 100 years later, two of these young children died within a couple of years of the apparition itself, from the pandemic happening at that time, the plague. And it's stunning, right, to think that these three kids, and then the other one became a cloistered nun who barely had any contact with the world. But God used them to disrupt so much of what was going on in the church and in the world, to lay out a warning to respond, to recognize and respond to what was going on in the world. Okay, so what about us? So we are in a position where things, when they're comfortable, when they are easy, when they are soft, and these are things that we can strive for, right? We want to have nice things in a comfortable living environment, having nice stuff, or even just being able to enjoy the good things of life. And these aren't bad things unless they are deflating our spiritual life, unless they are diverting us from the true purpose for why we're here on earth. And honestly, it's hard to dislodge that. It's very difficult to dislodge something when it's deeply rooted in our lives, where all of a sudden it's like, you know, you don't, you're going to fundamentally change how you're living in your home, or the home that you're living in, or the lifestyle that you have, or how you're spending your money, or what you're doing for a living, or how you're spending your time, right? Those are major disruptive changes. And yet sometimes it's the mercy of God that shakes us out of our complacency by having some of these things happen. The providential hand of God is saying, I'm gonna just bring you right up close to the cross, and you're gonna experience some stuff that's gonna shake you and break you. And in breaking you down, it's going to open you up to receive a new grace to stretch you and to help you grow. That's often what trials and tribulations, not always, but that's often what trials and tribulations are used for, or are useful. God uses them for those types of purposes. And it's, I know that that's been true in my life. You kind of hear it said as a truism, but you don't get it till you experience it. That the thing that you consider the worst thing going on in your life when you're going through it, God turns it into one of the greatest sources of blessings that you ever could have imagined. It becomes a great gift in your life. And I know that there are outlier happenings that you'd say, no, that can't be true. Like, you know, losing a child unexpectedly, things like that, right? These are things that are that are outliers in terms of general statements. But some of the most difficult crosses and trials we go through are precisely ending up to be the greatest gifts God gives to us, because He shakes us free. He shakes us loose. I've talked about that on the program. I don't need to dig into that further, how it was the trial we went through with the difficulties and tribulations we went through with, and the cross that one of our daughter's rebellion, what that did to it, shook and it broke and it slammed against the Carrie and my married life in terms of how to parent her, and it led to some incredible blessings, right? All right, so I mentioned all of that, and I'm not praying that any of you have those types of things happen to you, but you can choose the cross. You can choose the cross in your life, even when crosses aren't necessarily all around you. And I've been walking with you a bit on the journey that I've been taking for the last 21 days in doing this water fast. And again, I'm not saying any of you should do a water fast. So I just drank water. Coffee I would have, but by the end, I was barely drinking even a cup of coffee a day. I didn't need it any longer, and the taste wasn't very appealing to me. And some of the things that I learned, and I did have electrolytes, right? So just to make sure I had the necessary minerals for my body to be able to function. And it had amazing results. I did it to honor my marriage and my family. I did it to experience a gracious disruption. That's what I was doing. I was not content with the level of disruption, with the level of transformation. That's the outcome, right? Remember, there are these three moments. There's the disruption, there's the encounter, and then there's the transformation. Remember those three. That's the flow. So God graciously disrupts in order to give you an encounter that's more profound, that leads to a transformative change in how you live your life. And I'm convinced we need that in the church today. We need the faithful, the active faithful, to come into contact with a gracious disruptive force in their lives to bring about a more profound encounter with Jesus Christ, or with the realities of our faith, like the three visionaries had an encounter with hell, and then with heaven and with the Blessed Mother. And it definitively changed their lives. But what can we do that, you know, we can't make an apparition happen, but we can fast. You don't have to do a water fast. If you're going to do a water fast, then you have to call me up. I can give you more insight into what it actually takes to do an extended water fast. Now, there are some who are able to press through and do it through sheer willpower. I have a first cousin who does a 30-day cleanse, water cleanse, every year. And he's not doing it from the standpoint of faith. He never talks about the idea that he's leaning on the Lord or on prayer to get him through. It's just more well, this is what I need to do to get healthy. I'm going to do it. So that's super impressive on the one hand. So for me, that the 21 days was my attempt to follow Jesus into the desert I really wanted to be close to Jesus in a new way. And I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough, Lord. And so I've been praying for the capacity to do penance like this for, well, really over a year. I did the Camino, right? And that was another example of it. But this was different. This was hard. This one was way harder than the last one I did. I was struggling. It was a cross. It was really hard. I'm not going to lie. It was really hard. You hear about people saying, oh, you don't get hungry and you're able to kind of make it through. Whatever it was, the Lord gave me a different gift. And the gift he gave me was, Tom, you're going to experience more of a breakdown. You're going to experience more. I'm going to break through, but you are going to be humbled here by how hard it is for you to be able to get through this. And the way I described it to Carrie on Sunday, which was day 21, and I made it through, it was just like, I was just crawling to the finish line. You know, you see these videos of these runners that are running a marathon or an ultra marathon or a triathlon. And, you know, they are just like wobbly and barely making it forward over the last quarter mile or whatever. And they are just, they're delirious, but they are determined. They're going to make it. And that's probably and that's extreme. I wasn't like that. Right. I wasn't like that, but it was just I am so tired of this. I'm so looking forward to eating food. And I know this for folks that if you've done an extended fast, you have to be very planful and careful about how you get off your fast. Otherwise you can really hurt yourself. 'Cause your digestive system hasn't been working. So, I want to say, Lord, mission accomplished. Mission accomplished. I am looking forward to the transformation. And to the sense of, all right, Lord, I'm ready for the encounter. And I'm ready for the encounter, and I'm ready for the deeper transformation. There are things I've been praying about. I think I mentioned this to you that have kind of bubbled up in my life that I'm like, Lord, I want you to please, I invite you to come in and heal those parts of my past that are holding me back from transformation. And surrendering, this is, I think, a big deal. Surrendering myself over to what the Lord has for me to do in this stage of my life. It's really fascinating. Brothers and sisters, I'm going to give you a question that you can ask and you should be asking through the course of your life. What is at stake? What is at stake? It was an insight I gained from my spiritual director 40 something years ago. What a great gift from God that God gave me, Father Mark Noonan, to be my spiritual director. And for him, one of the ways that he talked about discerning in the day to day was paying attention to what is showing up. And among all of the things showing up, what's the most important thing to be paying attention to? What is at stake right now in this moment? And then based on what's at stake, you make a corresponding response. And so I'm really sensitized to what's at stake in this moment. Is my getting healthy. So God is used this 21-day water fast to get me in far better shape. Having dropped a ton of weight, it's like, okay, Lord, you've given me transformation. There it is, right in front of me, this physical transformation. And now I need to step into the next phase of this, or the yo-yo will continue. So I've been rolling up my sleeves. And I think, frankly, this is part of what's been making it so hard is that I've spent a lot of time going online and watching videos about how to prepare food and what's a keto diet look like here, and a carnivore diet or some blend of the two, and intermittent fasting, what does that look like? How do I implement that coming off of this? So I'm spending a ton of time around food, looking at food, watching food, shopping for food, and then getting myself set up for what's next. But that's all based on answering the question, what's at stake in my life right now? And what do I need to do about it? Well, do you ask that question? You see, if you ask that question, if you're willing to face that question, if you're willing to let that question put your life into question, let it be a lens, a magnifying glass that can shine a light and some points of focus into you, that it might shift what you're doing. I was talking on the phone yesterday with a really quite a famous Catholic leader, and has a tremendous amount of influence. And we were talking, and I was saying to him, I was sharing with him a bit of this, and just saying that, I'm discerning now that this is the time I'm supposed to hold in reserve in order to get healthy, to be able to spend more time with my wife and my kids in a healthy fashion, and to give up the frenetic pace and to attend to writing these books, that I need to make more room for that, and to surrender the pursuit of the financial side of things, but to trust in the Lord. And he was taken aback. He was like, wow, not offended, but he was like sort of amazed. He's like, wait a minute, how old are you? And I told him, I'm 60. And he's like, wait a minute, he's older than I am. And he is still pushing two hands to the plow, full steam ahead, to grow what he's doing. And then he talked about, I was able to get to a soccer game the other weekend. I had to cancel a retreat to be able to spend more time with my family as the kids are growing up, now grandkids, right? And so it's like, oh, wait a minute. Maybe I need to pay attention to what's at stake in my life right now. So for each of you, it can be what's at stake in how you're spending your money, how you're spending your time, how you're spending your gifting, the gifting that you have. Right now you're using it for a certain kind of job. Maybe God has you, it intends for you to use it for something else. And what is only going to help with that is a different horizon for your life. A different horizon for your life, a horizon that is as big as heaven and eternity. And what will I think about how I decide regarding my time right now when I stand before the Lord at judgment? When I stand and face the Lord and he says to me, we're going to review your life. And you're at this moment where I'm talking with you right now. And this might be an inflection point, might be a point to just send you off into a different direction in order to do what the Lord has for you to do in a whole new way. Because that's going to be how you'll become a saint and fulfill his mission. I don't know what it means for you, but I do know that we need to ask that question, because whatever we've been doing so far in the last 60 years has not been working. For the most part, it has not worked to help Catholics experience the transformed life that the Lord has for us. Just statistically, it hasn't. So we've got to do something different, or we're just caught in insanity, doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. A new program, a new Bible study, a new this, a new that, and somehow having a different result. Not going to happen. All right, I'm up against the end of my program. I hope this was a blessing. Pray your rosary and pray for those that are near to death and far from God. Your life will change. God bless.